How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد الداعية مسلما في عقيدته يخدم الإسلام. We continue our talk about da'wah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the job of the prophets and the path of the prophets, and it is the most noble path that a person can take, is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today inshallah we'll tackle some of those points referring to the person who is making the da'wah. What do we need from that person who's making the da'wah? Just simply a person who has knowledge, or simply a person who is enthused, or what do we need? We need someone who is a Muslim in his aqeedah. Meaning, when you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to be straight when it comes to your creed, aqeedah. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be straight in that aqidah. Because if we have a da'iyah who has any deviance or any major innovation in the aqidah, then you are not building, you are destroying the religion. Why? Because if you build a person, yani the scholars used to say, among the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to guide a person, when he guides a person to Islam, whether he is a non-Muslim or a deviant Muslim who's coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the great blessings to that person if he is guided to Islam through a person who fulfills the sunnah. Fulfills the sunnah, which means straight in the aqidah and act upon the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you come to Islam through a person with a deviant aqidah, you're going to be deviant. If you come to a person, JazakAllah khair. If you come to Islam through a person who does not hold the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in high status, you're going to be like that. Therefore, a person who is calling to Allah, a da'iyah, we look forward to know that person, he has to be straight in his aqidah for serving Islam. Me and you believe that we should believe in what all the Salaf, all the companions had believed in through the learning or the learning process that they have learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to follow their path and believe in what they believe. And we need to understand the religion according to their understanding, not according to ours. If we have a difference of opinion about a hadith or an ayah, we go back to how the companions understood that. Did they ask about it? How did they answer it? Did they follow this? What are their opinions? Then we go. It's not how we understood it or how someone of nowadays understood it. No, how did the companion understand it if they have any saying in reference to that? We need to understand, or any person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to understand that the Jannah is the reward. And this Jannah is very expensive. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya." So you need to understand that you are getting a very valuable reward for what you're doing. More valuable than you could ever think of. So, one of the righteous sisters said the following. She said, "Inna si'ra idha rakhus اشتراه كل أحد. When a merchandise is cheap, everybody buys it. When it's expensive, selected people buy it. Jannah is very expensive. Not everyone is ready to sacrifice for it, because you cannot get treasure, or rather you cannot get absolute luxury through luxury. If you're going to be a doctor, you're not going to get to that level or to that profession sitting at home, spending your time on TV and doing whatever you want to do. You can't. You have to work hard to get it. If the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Jannah, very expensive, then definitely you're going to sacrifice a lot. You're going to suffer in order for you to get that. Because if it is cheap, then anyone can get it. And naturally, not everyone get it. One of the scholars also said, "Man arada ar-raha, taraka ar-raha." Anyone who wants to really relax, he will stay away from relaxation. Really relax in the hereafter. Stay away from relaxation in this dunya. Meaning, you got to work hard if you really want to end up relaxing and enjoying your life. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. One of the great scholars who passed away a couple of years ago, he was a scholar in the different recitation of the Quran. Actually, he was listed number 16 from the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now. And he's also in hadith, he's listed number 23 from the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now. So like if you want to put a chain of narrations in hadith, you can say from so to so to so, and then mention his name and then jump all the way, qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Abdus Salam Hubus. He's from Egypt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. I was reading about his life and watching some of clips on YouTube about him the day before yesterday. And it was amazing the life that he was leading. And he was not just a scholar. He was an educator. He was like upbringing. He's teaching and he is bringing up the students that he has extra love for them. He dreamt, he met Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a couple of times. And one of those times he kissed his head, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's head, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and two of his hairs stuck to his mouth. And then he woke up. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dua that any person I kiss his head, he will become a hafiz to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been fulfilled. He doesn't just walk around and kissing people's head. He sees that you are a person, he sees goodness in you, then he would do that. Whether you are young or old, he would do that. One of the things that one of his students said that he used to enjoin upon them by saying, "In aradtum an takunu ulama alaykum bighadd al-basar fa innahu silahu al-alam." If you really want to become a scholar, you have to lower your gaze because this is the weapon of the scholars. And of course he adds the hadith that the look that you look, it is one of the weapons of the shaitan, and one look leads to another look and so forth. But he used to always remind them, if you want to be a scholar, lower your gaze. Because this is a sin. And the knowledge of this deen is not given or granted to someone who is sinner. And this is not fitting for someone who is looking to be as a qudwa or an example for others. He used to say the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to that, "Idmanu li sittan min anfusikum adhmanu lakum al-jannah." Guarantee me six things from yourself, I'll guarantee heaven for you. One of those things غضوا أبصاركم. Lower your gaze. One of those six things, a command, lower your gaze so I can guarantee you the Jannah. So if you really want to be a scholar who is not necessarily a scholar, a person who is making da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to reform yourself and make your aqidah straight, which entails that you have to know the following. You have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of this universe. Which means, it's not like, oh, Allah created the universe. No, you need to understand that it entails that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. And He is ever awake. And He is perfect. And He creates everything with a wisdom. And this is very evident to us through what we see in the perfection in the creation of this universe. Also, we have to believe, you have to believe as a da'iyah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is so perfect, He would not create anything in vain. Because a perfect person will not do anything in vain or waste his time for anything else. Also, you need to be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sent the messengers to remind you of the covenant that He took upon every one of us, that we will serve Him and Him only. And He sent the books with them to remind us of that and to guide us and show us how He wanted subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped. You have to believe that the goal in this life is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you know Him, you obey Him. Once you obey Him, you serve Him good. So your goal in this life is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so you can worship Him. Because if you don't know Him, how can you worship Him? How can you worship or believe or love something that you don't know? So if you spend all of your life learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes, we cannot say that you learned enough. It is an everlasting process that we need to always know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more you know Him, the more you want to serve Him. Because it will become evident to you that He deserves that worship. And you will do it not because you are afraid of Him, because you love Him. This is like someone asks you to do something and you say, you know, it's hard and maybe you don't want to do it. And you go, no, this person, he deserves it. I got to do this for him. For a human being, you do that. Imagine when you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much would you love to serve Him? Also, you need to understand that doing good is by the facilitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're sitting here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for you. And doing bad, it is not by force of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of this. Doing good, it's not because I want to do good only. No, I want to do good and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for me. When I do bad, it's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced me to do bad. I chose to do it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Because some people tell you, oh, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want me to do it, He won't do it. We say, you're right. But did He force you? The answer is no. So we need to know that. This is part of Iman in Al-Qadr. We also need to, as a da'iyah, I need to, just like I mentioned, know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. Because if you know those names, you want to act on that. If you know Allah is forgiven, Allah is forgiven. The one that you love, the one who created you, the one you're serving Him, you don't want to be forgiven? You don't want to take those beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named Himself with it? And you want to be a person who doesn't want to act with all those beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Definitely, if you are a believer, you know Allah, you want to follow that. You need to reflect on everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Just look at the creation, it doesn't matter what. Look at a tree, look at a bird, look at the sky, look at the wind, look at the rain, look at a human being, look at anything. that makes you and ties you to know how perfect and how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, when he used to recite that ayah at the end of Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. He used to say, صلى الله عليه وسلم, خَابَ وَخَسِرْ مَنْ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ وَلَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْ. A loser who recites those ayat, that in the creations of heavens and earth and the alteration of day and night are signs for people with knowledge, people with sound minds. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, indeed a loser who recites those and doesn't reflect. Because once you reflect in those things, you know who stands behind it. You know the greatness of Allah. You know the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would love Him and you would fear Him and you would obey Him. Without that, you would not. So as a da'iya, you need to know all of this and understand it before you can pass anything to other people. Because if you do that, you will be very strong in your word. People would see that what you're calling for is something that you believe in. You know how sometimes a salesman would come and want to sell you something, and it looks like he himself doesn't believe in it. Look how weak his sales pitch would be. But a person who really believes in the product, he will convince you, and you can see that he really believes in what he's doing. If you call to Allah and it's not reflecting on you, and you're not showing care, and you're not showing knowledge of what you're calling for, people are not going to be affected by you. You have to believe that you need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Yes, this is basic. To us it is basic. But a lot of us fall in shirk without knowing it. Why? Because to us, we know Tawheed, but we don't know the opposite of Tawheed. Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make a dua seeking refuge in Allah from committing shirk unknowingly? Because we fall into shirk even without knowing it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. I seek refuge in you, Allah, to commit shirk knowingly, and I ask your forgiveness for what I do unknowingly. So this is something that you need to believe in, and you need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the reward is great. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeing Him, they have a great forgiveness and rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, this is another thing that the Shaykh used to command his students to do. Always he used to tell them, خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ بِالسِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. Always be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, private and in public. Always have it in your mind, in your head, wherever you go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Therefore, fear Him. Also, continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a cleansing thing for your heart. And it is a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that strengthens your heart. It cleans it and strengthen your hearts, because this is what a da'iya need. When time gets tough, when he is rejected, when people are not listening, when he has to sacrifice and doesn't have enough time or enough health or enough money, and continuously remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the power that he is looking for. You, among the dua that you need to make is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you attached to Him. All the time remembering Him. All the time asking Him. All the time relying on Him. All the time doing things for himself, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for his sake, so you can love him. And when you love him, you would not give priority to anything else. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, you have no idea. No idea. Yani I know the faces. I was in the traffic. There was a major accident on the way here. And one of the brothers was telling me, oh, this is so bad, Shaykh. I said, why? What's so bad about it? يعني قدر الله ما شاء فعل. He said, oh, don't you have a lecture? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, everybody would leave. I said, believe me, brother, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended goodness for them, they will stay. They will wait. Because usually if I don't show up, I let them know and I tell them I'm not coming. But alhamdulillah, يعني the same people that I am expecting are here. Now this act by itself, being here, makes me have excellent, يعني positive suspicion of who you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. If you think that your mothers or your sisters or your brothers or your wives or your wealth or your homes or anything more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, then wait. So when you know Allah, you love Allah, and when you love Allah, you give Him priority over everything. Yes, I'm willing to sit and seek knowledge and be steadfast on that, even though I might have other things that I do, but I will not give it priority. I will arrange my schedule if I have visitation, that I will do it some other time or after the lecture. I will make seeking knowledge number one priority in my life. Not when I don't have time, I sit, and if I have, when I have time, I sit. If I don't have time, then I don't. This is not how a da'iyah is. A da'iyah sacrifices because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, and be grateful. Be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved you because He selected you to be carrying the task that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoined before he died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijjatul Wada', he said, أَلَا فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الْحَاضِرَ الْغَائِبِ. Let those who are witnessing here to pass the message to those who were not here. This is the da'wah. This is the da'wah that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ commanded us, and you are carrying that. So this deserves thank you. This deserves alhamdulillah. This deserves to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He chose you. He favored you over other people where He would have guided them instead of you, yet He guided you subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that ni'mah, so it will stay with you. Always make istighfar. As a da'iyah, you don't know what you're doing. Sometimes that is sinful. You don't know what enters in your mind when you're making the da'wah. Sometimes a person may see himself like he is good. He convinces people. People like him. And he starts to deviate away from sincerity, or deviate away from seeking knowledge, or thinking so highly of himself by becoming arrogant. You need to constantly say astaghfirullah, so all that sin and all that evil will be cleansing your heart. Just like one brother told me, your heart has sins in there. You need to unplug that valve and let those dirty things in your heart seep out or leak out, and then fill it up with good things. We need to check ourselves every now and then and get rid of all those sins. And finally, in that aqidah part of the da'iyah, you need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always supervising you. This brings fear and brings love and relaxation also. Brings fear because you would not do anything bad. Brings relaxation and hope because you may work hard and not get anything from people. Allah saws that. Allah saw that. Allah is not going to forgive you, forget you. He's going to give it to you. You did not lose it. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. We knew, we heard, we saw that people are accusing you that this is not a message from Allah, this is from a human being. So, wasbir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Be patient, because we know, we see you, we are with you. And that is something that makes the person feel good. When I know I'm getting paid, regardless, makes me relaxed. And whatever you do, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to get it. Having said this, how can you serve Islam? How can you serve Islam as a Muslim in your da'wah? Look at your intention all the time. Work on your intention all the time. Who you're calling for and why you're calling. Know that. A small act with intention, good sincerity, not only will give you huge rewards, but it also expiates and erases major sins. Major sins, not minor sins, major sins, simply because it is sincere. Very little. Stories are plenty. You know that prostitute who gave water to the dog. A person who took a branch of a broken tree, a broken branch on the in the street. He removed it so nobody would get harmed for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sins because of that, and they are major sins. So always work on your sincerity. This is how you serve Islam. When you work, work with sincerity so you get your rewards. You serve Islam if you knew the way to it and you act upon it. And the way is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you need to understand how he started the da'wah. You need to understand how much patience the da'wah requires. You need to understand the great rewards of the da'wah. You need to understand how to present the da'wah. You need to understand the knowledge that you need for the da'wah. Once you know all of that, you will begin to convince people in following the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you don't know all of that, you might ruin a lot more than you benefit. I'll give you a short story, subhanAllah, for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We know the evil of music. This is not the place to say it is haram or halal. I have no doubt it's haram. We know the evil of that, and we know the evil behind that, and you know what it does, and you know how it does to your heart, what it does to the societies, what it does to kids, what it does to youth especially, and what it drags you to. All of that is very evident. You don't need proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah to tell you how evil it is. But look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how he passed that message. In a time that I would say it wasn't as bad as nowadays when it comes to music. Now, the time of Jahiliyyah, we know that number one thing in their life is alcohol. They love that and they brag about that, and they have verses of poems and everything, to the point that one of them, he wants basically a vine that goes to his grave when he's dead, so he continues to drink alcohol. This is how much they were attached to it. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took steps in taking people away from alcohol. That's how يعني, deep it was rooted and loved by the people, including the companions before they were Muslims. It took four stages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in legislation before people stayed away from alcohol. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the people and knows what it takes. Well, anyway, there was a man called Zaidan. He is a musician. He takes his guitar and start playing on it, and guess who's around him? People who love the Quran? Good Muslim? People who want to do dhikr? No. Women and people who are getting drunk. He plays that and everyone is around him enjoying themselves. He passed by them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He wants to enjoy good and forbid evil, but there are ways. It's not just walk to the person and break his guitar or scream at him or cuss him or do something. This is not how you make da'wah. Look what he said. He passed by him and he said, ما أجمل هذا الصوت لو أنه كان في كتاب الله. He said, how beautiful your voice is had it been in reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any cussing? Did he put him down? Actually, he complimented him. He's basically telling him, your voice is beautiful, but you're not using it where you're supposed to use it. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the eyes and the ears and the hand and the body, and he told us how to use it. He told us this is haram and this is halal. Don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using it in haram. So he was using that beautiful voice in haram. But he wanted him to get the message indirectly. He heard him, but it wasn't a clear message. He walked away. He just said, how beautiful your voice had it been in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He walked away. So he asked the people, he said, what did he say? And then they told him, he was just saying how beautiful your voice if it is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got up, he broke the guitar, followed him, and came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, Ushhiduka bi anni tubtu ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, be my witness that I have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was so happy. He hugged him and he said, why shouldn't I be happy for someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. He said, why shouldn't I be happy for someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, he loves those people who repent to him all the time, and he loves people who are purifying themselves all the time. Look at the connection. Look how he passed the note. Look the impact of that message on that person, and look at the outcome of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. If we do that nowadays to someone, rather than taking him and hugging him and accepting him and thanking him and showing happiness for him, you will say, it's about time you gave up music. It's about time you gave up music. Rather than saying, welcome, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you and loves you. This is basically a criticism undercover. If you want to serve Islam, you need to serve it with all the every capability that you have. You need to serve it, whether it is financially, whether it is something through your position, something through your profession, something through your education. Every possible thing is a ni'mah, and it is an ability or something that is open for you to serve it. Don't look at it only with lectures. You can serve it with anything. Yani, I wanted to say this. I wanted to avoid saying this, but I really have to say it. Brother Muhsin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Wallahi, brothers, day and night I make dua for him. I never asked him to come and videotape this or pass it to the internet or to do anything. He volunteered to do it. And look, mashallah, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannah for this. Look how consistent he is, how dedicated he is. Wallahi al-azim, yani, what kind of reward you're getting for this? When you have over 100 people watching, and when you have it, this going everywhere, you're making the da'wah, he's spending an hour, 2 hours for this. And I'm not going to think of him if he does anything else. If this is all he does in his life, wallahi al-azim, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, goes a long way. Do we have someone similar to that? Very seldom you find someone dedicated, this much dedication, free. Let's put it this way. Someone who's doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the problem that we have all the time? We always say, brothers, if you want to have something consistent, you need to pay someone to do it. That's the only way you can have consistent, right? Why? Because we always look at it this way. It's not, I'm not getting paid for that job. Therefore, if I miss out on something, if I don't do it right, don't blame me because I'm doing it free. Who told you it's free? You would rather get $10, $15 an hour than having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pay you for it? What kind of a mind do we have? You're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. You prefer a human job, a person, a human like you, weak, broke, to reward you for it. And you are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this little, as if He's not giving you anything for it. Well, this tells you what kind of a sincerity you have. And that's why I put it number one. I said, when you want to serve Islam, check your sincerity. If you're truly sincere, you will sacrifice more than if you are paid for it. Because you're expecting a lot more reward than few dollars you get through other people. So, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Anyone who does not thank people does not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, sometimes it is due for people to appreciate what other people do. Yes, I know when I do something, I'm not expecting you to come and thank me for it. But when you do, believe it or not, it gives me a boost. We are human beings. When a person sees himself not appreciated, it demoralizes him. That's why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ encouraged us, for anyone who does a favor to you, to thank him. To say Jazakallahu khayran. Not only that, to give him a gift. And if you can, then say Jazakallahu khayran. Why? Because the impact on that person when you show appreciation. Imagine if a wife, says to her husband every time he brings some food to the house, which is his duty and his wajib and everything, and he knows that. If she tells him, Jazakallahu khayran for the food, Jazakallahu khayran for what you brought, that was nice thought of you, that was good food, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you for the family, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you more with money, you are a good husband, you are a good father. Imagine if a wife says that to her husband, what kind of a life, what kind of love she's going to get from her husband. That's why I have no doubt in my mind that a good woman with a sound mind can have the best relation and the happiest marriage in her life. Why? Because it's very easy to make the life happy in the house if she knows how to manage that through her sound mind. She can do that. But a lot of the women don't think of it this way. They look at it as, this is your job, I'm not going to submit to what he says, he is not in charge of me, I am a human being, I have my own minds and ideas, I am not going to lose respect for him. All negative. Where if everything is switched, she will rise high in the eyes of her husband, high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high in everything. Because this is how you lead a good life. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do, to be good all throughout everything. Close or not close. Imagine when you are dealing that with your husband. And I'm concerned. It's the same thing, of course, for the husband to say to his wife. But I'm saying that most of the things, wajibat, are on the husband. And a lot of people think that this is your wajib. You are in the shura. You're supposed to arrange for the Eid. You're supposed to bring the sheikh. You're supposed... What about you? Can't you say Jazakallahu khairan to those people when they do something good? You always complain when they don't. Can't you be grateful that someone is doing something right? How can you encourage one another to make things or keep on going? This is something that we need to understand. So you can serve Islam in many different ways. You can serve Islam when you sacrifice your wealth and sacrifice your own time, or sacrifice your anything basically that you have for serving Islam. You can serve Islam if you follow the paths of those good scholars, the scholars who have the knowledge and who made a dent in their life by their behavior, by their call, by their compassion, by their love to the people that they are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at those, read about them, and follow their path with patience and perseverance. You can serve Islam by staying away from being lazy all the time. I want to stay, oh, like in the next month or two, the time will become 10 o'clock, the lecture, or 11 o'clock. Oh, this finishes late, oh, inshallah, you know. If you make this after Maghrib, or if you make this after Asr, I would come. No. You don't want to make the schedule of learning knowledge, mold it. You don't want to mold it around your schedule. No, you mold your schedule around seeking knowledge. Wherever that time is available, I will rearrange the structure of my life to fit that. This is what I call a true person who is serving Islam or intending to serve Islam. You serve Islam if you tie your heart with knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making all the time, making dua for yourself, for your family, for other Muslims. Look at the other Muslims. Look at the message of Islam, brothers, as it is your job. This is your connection to people. Not this people, not this generation, not in Irving, but it's for the entire humanity. I will base everything to that. I will not dislike a person or kick a person away from me simply because they are not listening to me. I have the love for them through the love of this da'wah. I will continue to treat them good and to reach for them until I become successful or I die while I'm doing that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his uncle Abu Talib came to him through the pressure of Quraysh to quit the message, what did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? You know what, when I reflect on that, it breaks your heart. You know how much Prophet Muhammad ﷺ loves to guide people, and how much he loves to spread the da'wah. And here is his uncle requesting him to quit, and he is the only protection after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Quraysh. He is the tool that makes him pass the da'wah. Without him, he will not be able to. They will finish him. But yet, look at the determination of the wording of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look how he said it. And I believe some narrations say that he was crying when he was saying it. He said, Wallahi ya am, law wada'u ash-shamsa fi yamini والقمر في يساري على أن أترك هذا الأمر ما تركته حتى يظهر أو أموت دونه. والله, my uncle, by Allah, if they grant me the sun under my control with my right hand and the moon under my control with the left hand, so I can leave this message, passing this message, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not do it unless it will become successful or I die while I'm doing it. This is something that we need to look at when we call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am willing to sacrifice and I love everyone until I either guide them or I pass doing that. There's no room for a person who makes da'wah to get angry at people who reject the da'wah and abandon them or cuss them or push them away or say anything negative about them. No room for that. You need to have the patience. And brothers and sisters, finally, you need to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve Islam by giving Him a portion of your worry. I worry about my life. I worry about my children. I worry about my job. I worry about my wife. I worry about. Do you worry about this religion? Do you have any worry for it? Do you care about it? Do you care if you pass it or not? Do you care if it becomes, prevails or not? Do you care if people go away from it? Are you happy when someone accepts it? Are you sad when somebody leaves it? Does it break your heart when you see someone doing sins? Does it please you and makes you happy when you see all the Muslims doing good? If you don't have that worry, you don't fit. You don't fit for the da'wah. A lot of people think that they are making da'wah, but they need to work a lot on things like that. Relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relationship with the people, and the worry that they have. The worry that they have. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger said, if you see something bad, change it. Change it, either by your hand or by your tongue, or hate it in your heart more than hating to go back and revert or convert from religion, or hate it more than being in the hellfire. It's not just simply, oh brother, you know, may Allah give them guidance, you know, I can't do anything about it. But it's not making a little effect in your heart. It's like no big deal. If you don't have that hatred of seeing sins, then you got something with a problem with your heart. That means you don't really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you pass by someone cussing your father or cussing your mother, or putting down your family or putting down your country, you get so angry inside. You may not say anything or do anything, but you get so angry inside. Why? Because you really have the love. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't make a move. What does that tell you? The message is not good. It was said, my brothers, Al-ilmu nur, wal-hayatu furas, wal-da'wa ham. Seeking knowledge is a light, life is opportunities, and making da'wah is a worry. It worries you all the time. What am I going to do tomorrow? What's my plan tomorrow? I want to read this, I want to pass this, I want to visit this, I want to do that. This is a worry that when you go to sleep you worry about. So basically, if you stand up for Islam. If you walk for Islam. If you think for Islam. If you want to protect, you protect Islam. If you want to sit, you sit for Islam. All your life is for Islam. This is what we need. This is the kind of da'iyah that we need. Someone who is connected with Allah, loving people, and a big worry all the time about this message, acting upon it and passing it to other people. My dear brothers and sisters, there are many other things, but will be, and I think this is enough, inshallah, to charge us and to benefit us and make us straight. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pass the message and teach people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This message and other messages, you can always go to sunnahfollowers.net and see those and download them. We have a new CD called Rights in Islam that we talked about that through khutab, or I talked about that through khutab. This is made available at Sunnah Followers also, sunnahfollowers.net. If you want to go there and check it out and make sure that you either buy it for yourself or buy it for someone that you care about. The money that comes from that, it goes back to the website. You know, it costs money to keep the website open for 100 to 100 people who are watching everything that we're doing here from all around the world. This requires money, and with your generous donation and things like that, simple things like that, not only you benefit from it, you can make others benefit from it, and the money that you spend is also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can go there, and also you can go to imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com if you want to see other lectures that we have there. So please make sure you go check as sunnahfollowers.net, and just like I said, buy it for yourself or someone. That would be inshallah helpful in both directions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the time and the good life that makes you a good Muslim and makes you call for Islam, live for Islam. Jazakumullahu khairan. If you have any questions, inshallah we'll take a few.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو